world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
So it's a vortex. what can I say? It's a vortex. Let me just stop here a minute before I get too far into the broadcast. Yesterday is basically, I just went on a rant yesterday. It wasn't a rant. It was kind of organized rant, information rant. And I appreciate that because I know that's why some of you tune in. Some of you tune in for fellowships. I mean, come on, let's be honest. You're learning stuff here that you ain't hearing it anyplace else. And if you're listening to Coach Dave Live, then you're about six steps ahead of everybody else and what's really going on. The hardest part for all of us, really, is to try to separate the right from the wrong, the good from the evil, the lies from the deception. Who told you that, and why do you believe them? And unfortunately, all of us, including me, are surrounded by people who do not get it. They're not aware. I believe it. I believe that it's some of us. You ever have somebody tap you on the shoulder and you turn around? Who is that? I think a lot of you, a lot of us who are in here, have got that tap on the shoulder. You turn around and you're seeing things that other people aren't seeing. And the frustration is, it's hard to get reinforcement. It's hard to get encouragement. But people, I posted last week a picture. I think I shared this with y'all of chemtrails. Chemtrails coming out of the plane. Then I waited about a half hour and took another picture. And then I took another picture. And people on Facebook say, wow, that's just contrails. What do you say? What do you say if a person cannot look up in the sky and see the chemtrails being spread over us? What do you say? So you're immediately labeled what? A conspiracy theorist. And I just want to honor all of you because you got a lot of you guys are swimming upstream, man. And the frustrating thing is you know the truth and you cannot get them to see it. Is that a boom, boom, Vinny? is that the truth? So I understand the frustration. And I understand this, as I said many times, when people come here and join us, and I don't look at numbers. Like right now, 55 people in the queue. Well, those are people who are actually able to raise their hand, answer questions, and stuff like that. There are more than 55 people watching. I hope you understand that. But the real thing that we're dealing with is how do you get others to believe it? How do you get others to wake up and see exactly what it's going on? I said to my wife today, before I came down here, I love my wife more than anything. I said to her today, when are we going to admit the fact that the American government is absolutely freaking evil? When are we gonna come to that realization? Republican, Democrat, Trump, whatever. It's an evil, man-made, God-rejected system. The system has rejected God. God is truth. There is no truth in media. And I sit around and I watch. It's yin and yang, yin and yang. This congressman does this, and this congressman says this, and this. Because why? We have no universal truth in America anymore. I want to dive into some of that here today. I want to try to. But my frustration level remains high. I'm 73. I think I am 73 and a half years old. And I see what's going on. And I cannot sit around and watch this fall on my grandchildren. I just can't. I'm consumed by it because they're going to live in what I leave them. They call it an inheritance. The Bible says it all. Wise man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. So therefore, I think it's pretty important that we look at what we're leaving our children. And wise man doesn't leave evil stuff. And We're just coexisting with evil. And we've become convinced, for whatever reason, that it doesn't matter. In the end, we win in the end, whatever the hell that means. We win in the end. Really? What about your grandchildren or your neighbor's grandchild who's being led into transgenderism and homosexuality and perversion, all types of perversion? You feel no responsibility for that at all? Christian men and women, the salt of the earth, feel no accountability and no responsibility for the lies being taught to our children in public schools? We feel no responsibility at all? Is it good enough to say, well, we're just going to homeschool our kids? Well, we do. We homeschool our kids. I mean, I don't have kids. Grandkids are homeschooled. But they're growing up in a culture and a society with people who aren't homeschooled. In the Bible, somewhere in there, I think, I don't know, you could dig it up, Spencer, you don't have to. That when we teach the truth, we make ourselves a prey. P-R-E-Y. Look that up, Spence. It's prey. P-R, not P-R-A-Y, but we make ourselves a prey. Our children. We make our children a prey. Did you find that, Spencer? I gotta send you a tip. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Friends, if you're training your children in the truth, we're making them a prey. Why? Because all of society is believing lies. All of them. All of them. Hey, a lot of people going to church are believing lies. You understand? They only kill me once. I'm only going to die once. Took our grandchildren out on the boat, our boat yesterday. We got a little pontoon boat. Haven't been out on it really all year. And had an hour and a half swimming at the swimming hole with my grandkids. Took little Gemma, our newborn. She jumped in the water. She didn't jump in. That's crazy. I took her in the water, and how precious those little children are to us. And can I tell you the truth? How little the church cares. How little we care about truth. We send our children to government schools, folks, atheistic government schools. We send them to Rome to be educated, and then we're shocked when they come out little Romans. We send them to schools, we pay for schools, as J.R. would say, life has no meaning, man's the center of everything. We send them to schools where they over, what's the word I'm looking for? What's the word I'm looking for? Where they override everything you're trying to do in your home. They're teaching things in the schools you would never teach to your children, but they do. And then we wake up and our kids are 17 years old and they're not following the Lord anymore because they went to youth group, and all they did went to youth group was they played games and did whatever. And we thought it looked good. We thought it was good. The kids are in youth group, and youth group is infiltrated with a lot of kids who they're not saved. Evil influences. A lot of guys go to youth group to get laid. Is that okay to say that? A lot of guys go to youth group to find out some girl they can get in her pants. Is it okay to say that? Well, we have a wonderful youth group at our church. Yeah, they do. They're probably a wonderful youth group. A youth group. They learn how to play the game. But then we send them to school. I don't know how I got on this. I'm going somewhere today. Stay with me. We're the salt of the earth. We are the salt of the earth. And we don't want to be. We don't want to be. We want to be evacuated. It all works out in the end. You know, there's a lot, it ain't working out in the end for a lot of people right now. Although I want to make it to the end, but it ain't been a good ride. The reason it ain't a good ride is because the whole creation's groaning, waiting for God's people to stand up, put the foot down, and say, no, damn it. No. Not to my kids, not with my tax dollars, not in my community. No. but they won't do it. Don't miss the annual huddle. Pull that up there. It's in the chat. Mel stuck it up there for us. Thank you, Mel. I'm gonna show you a couple things here real quick. Okay. Look, folks, registrations are going good. We'll have a hundred people. We'll have probably 100 people. But look, you got to help us out here. We have to order food. Come on, help us out. Don't wait till the last minute and register. Liberty Mail, some people emailed me yesterday looking for a place to stay. There's a hotel you can stay for $89 a night. Well, it'll be more than that because you got to pay tax. So $100 a night, you'll be able to stay in a hotel. We'll get you all that stuff. But if you're coming, please register. We got to make plans, okay? And I don't know how we can make it any cheaper. Meal tickets start at $20 for all your meals. You can't go to Wendy's for one meal for $20. So all of your meals. Now, ticket price is going to go up here soon, by the way. Last, if you don't get in, how about this? If you don't know if you're coming, join anyway. Pay $20 and feed somebody else. But we got to know. We got to get those numbers up, okay? Register now. Hey, it's close. Today's the 30th. 12 days away. Come on, man. It's going to be fun. Come on. Okay, then Spencer, pull up Fritz. Fritz Zimmerman is going to be our speaker. Say, who's he? Well, this is his website. It's Fritz Zimmerman on Facebook. Fritz Zimmerman, ancient. Just look at some of the stuff that we're going to learn about. Right, freeze right there. Celtic warrior. Can you make a little bit bigger, Spence? I'm sorry. Fritz is an expert on the Nephilim, the mounds, the supernatural. He ain't just some flunky, okay? If you get on his website, he's going to take you on his website, all kinds of pictures and information regarding the fallen angels. Just scroll on down, friends. What's your name? Spencer. Just scroll on down. Look, the pictures. We're going to take you to the mounds. Go on down. Keep going. Keep going. These are things they found in the mounds. We're going to take you to the mounds. They're the giants that have been excavated. Now, that's not a real picture. We understand that. Giants buried standing up in a circle in Pike County, Ohio. Largest measured 9 foot in length. Folks, this is historical. These things are and were buried in those mounds. The Amorite engineered massive stone dam in West Virginia. You know any of this stuff? Do we know any of this stuff? No, because why? People writing history and teaching it to your kids don't want you to know about it. Two major earthwork sites in Indiana. Go on, down. Well, we're going to come licking. Oh, there's the giant's lunar solar temple, a few miles from the conference in Thornville, Ohio. This is here. This is right here, Perry County, Ohio. Only a few miles down the road, 60-foot stone mound was the geometric earthwork known as the Yost Works. Fritz Zimmerman's going to come and show you guys all this stuff all around us. Why? Scroll on down, Spence. Look right there. Newark, Ohio. Fritz Zimmerman's is in Indiana. Newark, Ohio. A hidden ancient site in Newark, Ohio. The mounds, and he shows us at the bottom picture, the earthworks, how they're geometrically lined up for the winter solstice and the spring solstice and all this information. Newark, Ohio history, Mag Mound. What's that mound right there in the middle of Spencer? Click on that thing. No, not that one. Well, look, there's the earthwork geometrically across, right? Go to the next one. Oh, my goodness. I used to live right there. Go to the next one. There's a mound right in downtown Newark. Huh? Yeah, go on. Huh? Another one. Newark High School mound. Folks, come on, man. Now, look, hang on. Now your friend's going to really think you're nuts. We're going to go visit these places. Not all of them. But we're going to go visit for them, okay? And maybe we were going to understand that there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after, the sons of men came down looking for you. Genesis 6. Pull it up here real quick, Spence. I got some really good stuff. Stay with me. Folks, please, if you're going to come, register now so we can make plans. Please. And it came to pass when men began to mock. You guys believe the Bible says it? I believe it. That settles it. Yeah. It came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men. They were fair. They took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man, for he is also his flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. We don't make 120 anymore. Go ahead. And there were giants in the earth in those days. Right? Oh, and also after. How'd that happen? Well, the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them. And the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And because of it, God came, had a flood. Are you guys putting any of this together? You ever hearing any of this in your church? And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imaginative thought in his heart was only evil continually. And it ticked the Lord off, and he made man on the earth. And he said, okay, I'm going to destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have even made him. But thank God he found Noah, and he put, you get it? You get it? The flood came because of the fallen angels. Oh, man. I'll move on. Somebody said, this is crazy. This guy's crazy. Okay, well, hell, then think I'm crazy. You get an opportunity to tour these, to walk on these mountains, to see them. They're all over Licking County. All right, move on. People are tired of hearing about it. Time to hear about it. All right. That's something going on. You know, sometimes we, here at Coach Dave Live, we like to help people. You know that, right? We've helped a lot of people. And I'm going to show you a video here real quickly. Brian Cunningham. Some of you out there know Brian Cunningham. I've known Brian for, Brian's a good dude. I've known Brian 15 years. I don't know how long it's been.
2016, and Coach.
2016. Brian's in here this morning. And Brian made me aware of what's going on here. And by the way, this video you're about to see was made by Ann Vandersteel. Now, Ann Vandersteel ain't some clunky Coach Dave. Got big audience, great credibility, okay? Great credibility. And Ann Vandersteel made this video. And here's the heart of it, okay? Brian Cunningham's mother is being held hostage in a extended living facility. They're saying she's dementia, she's crazy, yada, 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 and they cannot get her out. Now, Ann Vandersteel has begun to show information on this, so we're going to watch this 4-minute, 52-second video. This is happening to Brian Cunningham's mother, one of our brothers in the Lord here at Coach Dave Live. And by the way, without getting in the mix of it, Brian will get back to us on it. He's fighting his family on this. He's fighting against his family. They can't get the mother out because the brother doesn't want her out, because there's something bigger going on. I'll let Brian talk about that in a minute, okay? But just so you know that we're not crazy here, Ann Vandersteel made this video. She's been on top of it. Brian's been in communication with her. She says, we broke this story several weeks ago. Hey, Brian, hang on a second, Brian. Before I play this video, what's the issue here, Brian, so people can be able to grasp it?
Well, the issue, thanks, Coach, for airing this. The issue is, and this is what we've been battling for about a little over 2 years, and what my mother and I discovered, there were some other things going on before this guardianship started, this thing my brother did. And we discovered that my mom inherited some land, and her and her brother. And we confronted my brother. He lied. He said, I would never do that. But we had the deed. He financed her 50% equitable interest to buy out my uncle. And so we found that out. And this was after this thing was under contract, multi-million-dollar contract, actually $8.4 million for some property. And we found out that he did that. We confronted him. And so my mother, we voided the trust, because he was successor trustee on one trust. I was a successor trustee on another trust. We voided both the trusts. And then we actually revised the governance, named the trust the same, but established it for a different year. And we notified him in writing and the drafting attorney. Well, 3 weeks later, he turns around and files for guardianship. And there was an ex parte meeting that happened. They granted guardianship for him. Next thing you know, that was only 60 days. Then state court-appointed attorneys got involved, limited guardianship. And then we even had a Zoom call where the judge actually saw my mom. I mean, she was on there.
And they're claiming she has dementia.
Yeah, they're claiming she has dementia. Yeah, she claimed she had dementia. I mean, look, I'll just say real quickly. They came to the house, came by, cut through a locked chain, my brothers did, with constables behind them, came to the house, informally introduced themselves, and they took me to jail. And they told mom that if you don't come with us, we're going to handcuff you. So she was forced to a psychiatric with a forensic psychiatrist to do an evaluation. This stems on all this. It was fast tracked, and I haven't seen her since December 10th, 2024. And then she was forced into after a hotel for three nights, three vacation rentals, and then they put her in a lockdown dementia ward. And this is Marine Steele did the interview, and Ann edited this and made all the bass voiceover, and you can hear from my mom where she's
okay,
at.
Okay, so let's hear from your mom, okay? So folks, at the end of this, we're going to have an action. We're going to try to bring some pressure that people would get involved. So this is Brian Cunningham, his mother, and, we hate to say it, his brother, fighting over the estate. It's really what it is. And so they've locked up mother to be able to control her. So she's got dementia. We're the guardians. She doesn't have anything to say in it. And so Ann Vandersteel, you guys know who Ann Vandersteel is, she's been on top of this. And this is a video that they made, the taking of Patricia Louise Locke. It's about 4 minutes long, 5 minutes long. Go ahead and play it.
Just my God-given rights and my free will. Well, actually, the people at this institution know that I'm completely
Freeze it.
Competent.
Folks, this is her speaking, right? This is a supposed Alzheimer patient speaking. Go ahead.
They let me go outside every day, and I walk. I exercise for an hour and a half outside. I walk and do some sit down exercises. And if it's raining and it's been too cold, sometimes I walk in this building. That's every day that I do that. So I know that it's very important to keep my body in shape.
What is happening to Patricia Louise Locke should terrify this nation. Patricia is a 75-year-old grandmother, ranch owner, widow, and lifelong Texas cattlewoman now being held inside a locked dementia wing despite recorded evidence showing competency, cognition, awareness, and independence.
They're amazed how well I can take care of the amount of insulin I need for each meal that I have to take because I'm insulin dependent. And I instruct them on how much I need because I know what I'm going to eat. And I know how I'm going to exercise.
During a recorded interview with Maureen Steele of American Made Action, Patricia knew her full name, date of birth, medical history, property details, the names of people involved in her case, and explained in detail how she was removed from her ranch and confined under guardianship. Court documents show guardianship authority moving over Patricia's person and estate. Orders were entered. A mental examination was authorized. A system began moving around her life, her property, and her freedom. She described being threatened with handcuffs by constables. She described being moved between hospitals, hotels, and vacation rentals. And she described being separated from family while two of her sons allegedly attempt to seize control of her estate.
In fact, the day that Brenda came to visit me, he told me that if I didn't agree to it, that I could just rot here.
This is her son.
Patricia says the people caring for her knows she does not belong there.
Even the people here have even told me, you're not incompetent. Yeah, right. You don't belong here.
Then there is this financial trail. Credit card changes, account updates, replacement cards, identity theft warnings, trust accounts, refund checks, and banking records. Patricia says she did not authorize many of these actions. This is no longer just a private family dispute. This is about whether guardianship in America can be weaponized against competent citizens. This is about whether an elderly American can lose her freedom, her property, her voice, and her rights, despite evidence she remains fully aware and capable. Patricia says she still manages her diabetes herself. She changes her own bedding. She monitors dangerous medication mistakes. She exercises daily. And yet, she remains confined.
Just my God-given rights and my free will. Being able to go to church and go to the lake and go visit friends and have nothing here.
If this can happen to Patricia Louise Locke, it can happen to your mother, your father, your grandmother, your family. This story is still developing. American Made Action and Steel News will continue investigating the documents, the guardianship filings, the financial trail, and the voices of those involved.
Well, I know one thing. I really have to watch my back. I have to watch everything that goes on here. And I think that my Lord Jesus the Christ, I'm able to do that because I see so much here. And I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to be accountable for what I see, even though it's so wrong.
Stay tuned, because Patricia Louise Locke's story is far from over.
Wow. Brian Cunningham's mother. Brian Cunningham's mother. Now, Brian, are you in the middle of litigation right now, Brian? What the heck's going on?
Well, you know, we've done a lot of things. You know, it was multifaceted. I can't tell you how many court cases that they've been doing. Those pictures of those cops were actually the farm eviction. There were game cams put up. They came in to came to evict me off my mother's farm that's under a trust, a private trust, and I'm the successor trustee. So there's a lot of things going on currently right now. You can go to the Texas Supreme Court. The case number is 26-0288, 26-0288. I actually filed, I went through the Third Court of Appeals, and I'm in the Supreme Court. That was on the farm eviction. That got denied, but currently the one I just told you about is on the guardianship. And they denied, they did a writ of mandamus to basically undo, vacate, and set aside the that judgment against my mom. And they already denied it. They already denied that a motion for a rehearing. That's the rehearing number. I want to say, just so people know, they have the voided trust. They have the new trust. They have a PCME, which is a physician certificate medical evaluation.
Brian, who's they? Brian, who's they?
The Texas Supreme Court. All this is filed into that case. They have this. The Texas Supreme Court has audio of my mom on a USB thumb drive with dictated transcripts of these calls. Probably, I think, seven of them, and so. They have all this information. They even know that when my brother filed for the guardianship, he said he had a valid power of attorney is held in hand or something like that. Power, he had that on his application. He knew it was not valid. They have that voided trust. They have, you know, that right now the Texas Supreme Court has the ability to set this right, to make Texas do the right thing.
If you go set her free, set your mom free, right?
Yeah, set her free. I mean, the Texas Constitution says that they honor verbal and written contracts. Okay, we have a verbal agreement, but we also have in stone, notarized, written private agreement with actual or private trust. Excuse me, with private agreements. Okay, that are notarized. That give me the authorization to take care of my mother when she needs financial help, when she needs medical help, if and when, or even when she instructs me, hey, Brian, I need you to go do this. It has it in there. And it she doesn't need my help. When they came and grabbed her December the 10th with a writ of habeas corpus and a writ of attachment, we had just went out and checked cows. Now, bear in mind, this is 2024. We were checking cows, and we drove into our property, and it's inside the gates, inside the property line. The constables came, and, I mean, all kinds of things happened. And they, I mean, she had to get out. She had to use the restroom. They took her. And then from that night, they took her. They were supposed to take her to this guardian of the person that they have. And all this is on the, you can look at the docket. And, you know, she never went to that office. They took her to the ER and, like, it took her to those other places. She never made it to the destination. That's a due process violation. There's other due process violations, and they still won't let her out.
Mm. Hey, Brian.
I mean, that's what's going on here. Go ahead, Coach.
What's the bottom line? What's up with your brother?
Well, I mean, first of all, they're antithetical to God's word. That's the first thing. This is, you know, if I didn't know better, I would say this is religious persecution myself, because everybody knows where my mom stands on things. The bottom line is that we believe, it seems, because of what information that we found, that my brother was trying to hide some of the things that he was doing. And he was trying to hide it. Maybe these other people got a hold of it. I don't know. But it seems like if you got the right attorney and the right, you know, right judge, you can get anything done. And
we're talking about a viable estate here, right, Brian? A viable estate.
Well, well, like I said, that one place that he financed was under contract for a little over $8 million. I mean, but that's just one property. And, you know, she's got, you know, 50 acres, another place here. There's another place that, you know, 97 acres. And I think he feels entitled. I think he feels that, you know, I did all this or whatever. But, you know, my mom, you know, his business that he has really owes it to my mom. My mom paid for 2 months for him to go to Florida and learn what he does. He's a prominent dust construction in the Austin, Texas area. And she supported him for 2 months. I mean, she went in and actually let him use her credit cards to build his credit. But yet, I mean, he's done all kinds of stuff. I mean, he's changed.
How old's your mom?
My mom's 75. My mom's 75. She's younger than the president. She's a little bit older than you, and she's active. I mean, she walks 1.1 miles a day at that facility. And bear in mind, that's in a locked area inside that place is where they let her out, and she walks. And that's what she does.
By the way, Brian, as it is right now, you being her son, you don't have the power to say, hey, look, we're going to get mom out and we're going to put her in maybe an elderly home where people are. You have no control over that, do you, Brian?
They won't even let me to see her. They will not let me inside to see her. That's where this is at. They're trying to frame me for elderly abuse. That's what they're trying to frame me. But yet my brother was doing it. I mean, rules for radicals. I mean, that's what they're doing. They turn everything around.
So, Brian, right now, I'm going to get some questions in here real quick.
Yeah.
Right now, this case is before who, Brian? And you're waiting for a decision from who?
Right now, this case, a writ of mandamus, because it's a spanking to the lower courts, a judge, is it before the Texas Supreme Court?
It is right now before the Texas
Supreme Court. Right, and it's case number 260288. And you can go in there and look. The last filing, the motion for rehearing, the last filing in there, my mom wrote down on a piece of paper and wrote some information down. She took a picture of it with a flip phone, by the way. And I put that into the case. So you can see my mom writing information down, where she even told an HHS worker, gave her a piece of paper, and told her that she's been unlawfully held. And the Health and Human Services person didn't even know about it. Her name's in there, too. She named her. So, I mean, you know, we can talk every Yeah, go ahead, Chuck.
Let's get some questions in here. Spence, if you could, we had a request for this to be in the chat so people can see the video.
It's in there right now.
All you want is your mom's, you want her freedom back.
I just want her freedom back. You know, I could really care less about the rest of that stuff. She even told my younger brother before they moved her down there. She goes, you guys can have everything. I don't want anything. I want my freedom. You know what he told her? He said, well, if you would cooperate, they'd let you go back to the place. I mean, when they took her down there, there's two ladies from this entity that has possession, we'll say, of her, that took her down. Because the Windsor is where she's at. There's another group that's part of this. And one of those ladies told her, she goes, this is what you get for not cooperating. See, they wanted her to cooperate with this and accept this guardianship. We haven't done that. So go ahead.
Okay, so Brian, the case then, what are you asking, or maybe not you, what is the case asking the Supreme Court to do?
The case is asking the Supreme Court, because of the fraud upon the court, my brother, due process violations, and all this other stuff, it's asking the court to vacate all the orders in that lower court case and set aside the judgment and set her free. I mean, that's all we're asking. We're just asking
she's in the dementia wing based on a court order. Is that what it is?
Court order saying that she's incapacitated. She's incapacitated. That's what they're saying. But yet, you know, and that's on a forced psychiatric evaluation.
Okay, hang on there. Dr. Paul, what say you? Let's get some opinions here. Then, folks, we have an action for you to take here, really. What do you think, Paul?
Oh, my goodness. I'll keep you in prayer. Where the hell is the doctor in this, the primary care in this? And how do you keep from smashing your brother's face in?
Yeah. The primary care physician, what happened is my mother has an endocrinologist, and her endocrinologist really basically became her primary care physician because she would occasionally go to her primary care physician. He actually was doing most of her medications besides one heart doctor. And he ended up retiring. And, you know, I went to the administration of them trying to get them to write a letter of competency. And he seemed willing to do it. And I wanted to get it notarized. And unfortunately, they didn't want to get it notarized. But what's interesting is that the court appointed attorney is in the same building, in the exact same building, some suites above or something like that. But, you know, I don't know. So
she wasn't adjudicated insane or anything, and they're locking her up. And I ran these places before. That's a lockup. I don't know about you. Well, I'll keep you in prayers, but let's get this video out to anybody and everybody.
Get this going up. Vinny, come on in, Vinny.
Hey, Coach. This is deja vu for me. The same thing happened to a judge in Brooklyn by the name of John Phillips, the exact same thing, right? And then, unfortunately, he passed away because they neglected his dietary needs, right? So Brian, make sure none of that happens to your mother. I wish you the best on this. I'm going to post this in the morning. Thank you.
I appreciate it. Yeah, what we do is we take her food every 2 weeks, and so we're able to do that, drop it off the front door.
Because you're not allowed to see her. Is that right, Brian?
I'm not allowed to go in the building. I actually, when she first got there, they wouldn't let her use her medication that she had with her. And so her blood pressure got really high. We did recordings on that as well. And then eventually they gave in. And I was told by through mom, the social work said to come. I went in the door, and then I got yelled at by a CNA that is saying I'm not supposed to be in there. And that's how I found out I wasn't supposed to be there. And to piggyback on Paul, now she does have a doctor. We were able to, she did a telemed appointment, and we do have a doctor that is a current doctor for her that is currently providing her medication that we provide when it comes close to expiring or being out. And that doctor, just so Paul knows, is the doctor that put in a physician certificate medical evaluation, said that she's competent. That is in the Supreme Court as well. You know, that's so, I mean, and that was done, I can't remember exactly when I think it was in March or February when she wrote that up. So that's been done. That's been sent out.
How long, Brian, how long has she been kidnapped?
Well, they took her December 10th, 2024. That's why you guys haven't seen me on the show that much, because I've been knee deep in this with, you know, all kinds of different lawfare, you know, paper terrorism, basically. Coming
Dave
after
Allison.
Me.
Come on in, Dave.
Yeah, thanks, Brian, for sharing your story. What this, you know, you talk about Newark being Nephilim Central. Austin is Libtard Central, and that's where she's at. And what this smells like to me, you said your brother was in business, and he's got somebody with some political sway behind him. This didn't happen in a vacuum, right? And when you get the people to move like this, there's usually somebody with some political power. So I'm not saying this is what happened. This is what it smells like. So your brother's in business, and he's made some kind of a political, you know, he got some sway with some politicians, and maybe he had a deal where the politician gets a little kickback, right? And so now the politician's got the money, but your brother's got that over on the politician and say, well, you know, hey, I know some stuff about you too, so I need your help here with my mom, and I need you to use your political sway. So this really stinks. I would look to see what a political affiliation your brother has, and I would look at those people as main instigators.
Well, I did just background on his attorney, and that his attorney's got some clout, we'll put it that way. And then I saw where Betty said, you know, Betty said maybe data center. What's interesting you say about that, one of the properties has gas lines through it and power lines through it. And we actually built probably about a 3-acre lake, you know, kind of tank on there. So, and that's one of the 97 acre places. So, you know, there's a lot of things here, a lot of angles here. And you know, I just want my mom out. My mom just wants her out. I mean, I could care less about other stuff because we can't take it with us. Would it be nice that she would actually get her birthright back? Yeah, it would be nice. But I just want her out. I mean, she's a competent person that is never committed a crime. She's never committed a crime.
I'm 73. Sometimes my wife thinks I'm crazy. Sometimes my kids think I'm crazy. And most people around me think I'm crazy. So you can see how easy this would be to happen, right? Hey, Spencer, I just sent you a link. Folks, here's what we would like you to do, okay? I think you can get it, Spence. Let me know if you can't. We'd like all of you to make a call, send an email. Spencer, I don't know how we can get this so people can see exactly what's going on. Friends, we'd like you to contact on Brian's behalf. And listen to me. We're going to give you an address, a number you can call, an email. Friends, look, don't get in an argument with them. Because here's what's going on. Some girl answers the phone. Hello, so-and-so's office. May I help you? And then you tell them what you want her to do. And she has a pencil and she's marking down what your call's about. And she says, I will refer that to them. Thank you for calling. And they just make a check mark. Boom, called, about to set, called. So don't get into a long, drawn-out argument with somebody that doesn't know what the hell it's about. You understand, friends? You understand? Don't waste your time doing that. And again, our daughter used to work for the state of Ohio in a representative's office. And if they got 5 calls on something, they said the phones were ringing off the hook. So we need to ring the phones or the emails off of the hook about this situation. And so what I'm trying to get Spence to get up there for us, I don't know if he can do it. He's working hard. Maybe, folks, when it comes up, you can take a phone message of it. Here's all we want you to do. All we want you to do is send an email and saying, well, it'll be up there on the screen in a second. That's all we want you to do. Don't get in an argument. Don't get into a debate. I'm calling about case number bum, 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 which is about a fully competent woman. The county court caused, there it is. Okay, good, folks. This is all I want you to do. All we want, send an email to blake.hawthorne@texascourts.gov. Now, look, we can copy all of them. You could copy and paste it. But if they get 60 emails that all look the same, they're going to be, right? So it would be easy for you to just say, look, I'm calling about this. The Texas Supreme Court needs to do the right thing for Texas and order the release and restoration of Patricia Louise Locke. That's all you got to say. Don't get in an argument. Don't get into a debate. Nothing, because they are merely cataloging the number of calls.
Yeah, I heard about this online, whatever. I heard about this story online, whatever.
Don't get in an argument with them. Because the girl and the girl answering it is probably just an intern, whatever. Or just send an email. Just send an email. That works too. Send an email to Blake Hawthorne and say what? Hey, let Patricia Lewis Locke go. Will you please let her go? Brian, that's really all they got to say. Because all the folks, they're just cataloging the number of emails they're getting. They don't care what you don't have to argue with them, explain to them nothing. They know the case. Yeah, Ray, let my people go. That's really all we need to do. And so what I'm going to do when this show's over, I'm going to email blake.hawthorne@texascourts.gov and say, would you please let Patricia Louise Locke go home?
Yeah. And they make their orders on Fridays at 9 a.m. So that's when we'll find out on Friday whether they deny this again, this Friday.
Now, Brian, you put down to bottom of this, repost to the following. What do you mean by that, Brian, down to bottom?
I put down there, what, if you wanted to send, repost that link of Ann Vandersteel.
Oh, okay.
You know, if people felt inclined, that video, that link is right there, repost the following. That's her link for what the video we just saw.
Okay, so folks, please listen to me. Don't get in an argument. It's just like you're calling in, I'm voting for A. That's all you're doing. Don't get in an argument with the girl who answers the phone, nor the person she transfers you to. Don't get into an argument. Say, just please, I'm calling on behalf of Patricia Louise Locke. Would you please let her go? Period. They'll know what it is.
You call her, you'll end up getting one of the deputy clerks of the Supreme Court. That's who you'll call. That number goes to.
That's true. But Brian, they can send an email, and the email will
email.
It'll be just
send an email. Yeah, Blake Hawthorne is the actual is actually the clerk, and that's email.
Folks, that's who we target. Now I target. That sounds bad. That's who you send him to. Send an email to Blake Hawthorne and say, "What would you please let Patricia Louise Locke go home?" That's it, huh? That's it. You're not going to convince them one way or another. They're going to do math. Okay? They're going to do math. That's all. Dr. Paul, come on in.
Yeah, so these lockdown units for Alzheimer's patients, and that looks like a very nice unit, okay? They have a medical director. It's a geriatrician that's in charge of every single patient in there. And he has to okay her to stay in there.
Mm.
Have you talked to the geriatrician that runs that unit and ask him why he doesn't release her?
She's actually She's told him, you can make an order to release me. You need to let me go. You know I don't belong here. And he will not do
it. He's paid off. This is the guy.
He recently came in there and she's like, you know, she told him, I don't need your service. I don't need your service. You know I don't belong there. He turns around and tells the person, oh, she's cognitive impaired, you know, outside the door. I mean, the social worker hasn't gone in her room like 3 months. I mean, the administrator.
Hey, Brian, let's be honest. Even if she's cognitive impaired, you would be saying, I'll take care of her.
Exactly.
Right?
That's exactly right.
I'll take care of her.
He's getting paid off.
You're not asking him to let her go live. She could go live by her, but you're not asking that. Say, I'll take care of her. It's my mother. I'll take care of her.
Yeah, and they have, and look, these people that are working, they're helping my brother. They when the court-appointed attorney came out before her deadline to respond, came out, walked 350 yards, came to the back door of the place unannounced, uninvited. We didn't know who he was. He said, the court is challenging your guardianship. They knew from the very beginning that we had a trust in place. We knew that we had it all set up already. They knew. I mean, you know, they appointed a court-appointed attorney, which supposedly online says you can. They appointed it before she got served the citation. Before her time to respond in writing, which we did, or she did. They did an order for a mental evaluation. I mean, it was a slam dunk from the very beginning. They wanted to force this thing to happen from the very beginning. I mean, Coach, they even served me the same citation they served Mom and sent it to me, the same citation. And so what happened is when we replied to the first full, it was full guardianship and or limited guardianship for my brother. When we responded, a month later, they turned around and applied for a temporary guardianship so they could push it through real fast. See, they didn't like our response. We had a solid foundation to debunk everything that they did. And they didn't like it. And then they turned around and they went for temporary guardianship so they could force it through, saying it was an emergency and all this other stuff. And that's what happened. That's what happened.
Unbelievable. Lorianne, come on in.
You want to hit it? You want to lock and load and pray?
Sure, let's do it.
Let's lock and load. Okay, Lord. Lift up Brian to you, a son's heavy heart. He loves his mom, and he loves his brother. But this family feud started with Abel and Cain, and it's no different. Protect Brian's mom. Open up every single solitary door, every window, every opportunity, Lord God, and expose the truth. Every single thing that's been going on, all of his brother's connections, Lord God, and we intercede on his brother's behalf that you will, he's the king right now, and your word says that you direct the king's heart. Direct the king's heart back to you. That Jesus, you chase this man down, that this man can't sleep, he can't wake, he can't walk, he can't eat, because he's so heavily convicted by you about how he is not honoring his mom. We ask you, Almighty God, to do what you do best, miracle after miracle after miracle, and vindicate this mom. So this mom, this mama can be a voice for every other mama and every other family that wants to protect their family.
Amen.
We ask you, Almighty God, to work in the Supreme Court of Texas, and Lord God, whoever Brian's brother is working with, Lord God, let every single snake egg venom be revealed as the truth and expose it, so that Lord God, this case can be marked down in the books, so that the families coming behind Brian can use this to protect their families. You protect us. Satan, you've been put on notice. Your time is up. There's a boundary of the blood of Jesus over this mama who loves you, and you're with her. You wipe her tears. You're with her when she's scared, and every angel that you've commissioned to be around her, that you, Lord God, will restore everything that's been taken to her from her, and you will give her so much peace, so much love, so much power of the Holy Spirit, that the state of Texas is going to be set on fire for you, and that you will protect families. We thank you for, Lord God, for destroying Satan, that every weapon that's being formed against this family will be exposed in the mighty name of Jesus Christ and tore down. Thank you, God, for this son who's a voice for his mother, that he's protecting her. He's fighting for her. What every son should do, he is honoring his mama. And you commanded him to do so, he's honoring you. Do everything on the son's behalf. Wipe his tears. Shut down Satan when he's scared. And your love is going to be the banner over this story. Satan, you're done. You've been evicted in the mighty, beautiful name of Jesus Christ.
Amen. So shall it be. Thank you, sister. And I want to say one thing real quick. So I'm the eldest son. I raised, now there's two brothers involved, just so we know, the video says two. One brother started, the other brother joined in. The youngest brother is the one that said, you can just rot here. And that was when he visited her in March. That's when he said that. So both my brothers are involved, and my mom and I, my dad left, you know, divorced my mom at 12. I'm not saying, whoa, it's me. And my mom and I, we raised those two boys for 2 years until she married my stepdad. That's why she has a different name. Now, my stepdad passed away in 2009, and she's been a widow since 2009. Okay. So I just want that for the record. Yeah. I'm doing, God put on my heart, I'm the eldest son, and help take care of her. And my two younger brothers that I raised are behind this.
Amen. Brian, I want you to know, folks, I just sent this to Blake Hawthorne. Here's all I did. I copied Blake. I put that email. I copied it. Put it in the chat, Spence, if you can. Just put the email in. And all I did was, here's what I said, okay? This is so simple. I said, please release Mrs. Locke to the custody of her son, Brian, who is willing and able to care for his mother. Thank you, Dave Dobbenmeyer. That's all I did. Because remember, you're not in a court of law. You're not going to argue it out with it. You want those emails and those phones to ring so they know that they're not doing it anymore under the cover of darkness. Do you understand, folks?
That's right. We got to shine the light and make it where the darkness flees.
That's right. That's right. Do it now. We can't wait till they judge again. We have to do it now. Come on in, Jeff.
Coach, would it be a good idea to, if you send an email, then in a little bit later, do a phone call. Just do a double whammy for the day.
You could do both. You could do another one. You can do another email. Folks, listen to me. They're just counting numbers, okay? They're just counting numbers. Brian, we got about 3 minutes, man. Wrap it up here. Hey, Brian. What would you say to those people out there that said, there's something else going on here? Those courts wouldn't do that. Brian must be a shyster. So what would you say to them, Brian? Because I hear him. I hear him right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, I hear him too. Yeah, you know, the thing is I would say this, that if you did your research, Netflix did a video called Dirty Money, talks about guardianship. Actually, I think actually down in that area as well, in Texas. I would tell them that the guardianship, supposedly on record, is a $32 billion industry. I would say that this is happening across the nation because I've talked to people. It's happening across the nation. We're not the only ones. And I would say this, that it can happen to anyone. It can, you know, when you get, you know, we've heard the stories about the child, you know, the child trafficking, that CPS and all that. Well, you know, APS is an arm of that. And I would say this could happen to anyone. And the thing is I believe in my heart, what's impressed upon my heart these days, we have to make sure that we are equally yoked with the people that we know that we can trust, because here we have two family members that, I mean, my brother, which is a sad thing, at 14 years old, the one that started this was still holding my mom's hand in public. He was still, he loved his mom, but yet he did this. He did this, and I believe he's got stuff on him that they found out, and they used it against him. And the problem is I told him, do not. We had a situation before this. I don't want to go into it. I said, do not get involved in that situation. And he just kept going forward, and then here we are. And they didn't listen to me. But I would say that, you know, yeah, I love my mom. And I'm not a Schweitzer. I mean, I wouldn't be coming on in the public like this. I just wanted to live my life and serve God. That's why would I be doing this? I'm doing this because I love my mom. Amen. I love my mom, and I want her out, and I could care less about everything else.
Amen.
As far as property.
Amen. Amen. Folks, simple, man. Simple. An email. I just did it. I just did it. I'm glad my wife do one. I just did it. Everybody, tell everybody you know. Hey, please show them your simple email. Say, trust me on this. Please send this email. What does yours say, Coach? Please release Mrs. Locke to the custody of her son, Brian, who is willing and able to care for his mother. Thank you, Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer.
Simple. Maybe put the case number in there just in case. So 26-0.
They'll know.
I think they'll know. Well, I'll put it this way. When I used to go in there and file, they knew it was me. They knew who I was. Amen. The whole time.
God bless you, Brian. Let us know how we can help. See you, folks. See you tomorrow.